eBay sellers, you have landed on episode 158 of eBay the Right Way. Today's date is March 27th, 2024, and my guest is Bill in California. And Bill was on the podcast almost a year ago, and he had first started eBay, and he's back to update us on his journey and share some great experiences and advice. The only announcement this week is that my first Homestead Happenings video is up on YouTube. If you want to see what's going on with our farmhouse remodel, gourmet mushroom business, livestock, backyard chickens, and blending eBay with rural living. The link to the video is below the podcast, and I have made a separate playlist on my existing YouTube channel for these videos, so you can follow along easily if that interests you. Okay, let's get into the chat with Bill.
Welcome back, listeners. I have Bill with us today, and you are a repeat offender on this podcast. Yes. How are you doing this morning?
Very good. Thank you. We are very busy with all eBay-related things here in California.
Okay, you're in California, right? And tell me where in California you are.
The central San Joaquin Valley, the southern end of that. So
what's the biggest city near you?
The biggest city would be Bakersfield to the south, and then Fresno to the north.
Okay.
And both okay. are about 65, 40 miles away in either direction.
Okay, great. Or maybe I reached out to see if you wanted to come back on and update us about what's going on with you. So
sure,
jump right in and tell us what's been happening.
Yeah, well, I enjoy your podcast so much and like talking about eBay so much when I saw you had open casting call, so to speak, I decided to throw it out there. So yeah, it's interesting. Here we are in March. This is my 1 year anniversary of having an eBay store. And last year in 2023 was really my first year of doing eBay in earnest, really working at it and doing regular sourcing, daily listing, and saw increases throughout the year. So it was a great experience. I'm having a ton of fun. A couple of my friends from work have caught the eBay bug, and we enjoy sharing all of that together. So we'll see what this next year has to do. But I just do have a few thoughts, reflections from this last year, things I've learned or thoughts I have on that.
Well, let's just dive in. I didn't realize this was your 1 year anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it was a year ago in March. I took off a couple of weeks, and I'm off a couple of weeks this year as well. Just have some vacation that I need to use. And you can only accrue so much. So I took off last year in March, and I did not have a store. I was under 250 on my listings. And I think I had heard from one of the YouTubers that he does a thing every month where he delists his entire store and then he redoes it. So he ends and then sells similar. He says it blows up his store, blows up his sales, right? Well, I did that with mine, but I didn't have a store. So and I was limited on my listings, and so in just the mechanics of the way the dates and everything did, that put me way over my limit. And so, because I was approaching that 250 anyway. So I just went ahead and got a store at that time.
Okay. And so you have the basic store, it's like $20 a month.
The basic. There's a starter, I think, that's even below that, but mm-hmm. I went with the basic.
Yeah, I don't think the starter gives you very many options, or not as many as the basic, and you don't get the coupon for your supplies.
No, no.
With the base starter. So, but you know, you got to do what works for you. So did sure. you try the listing everything and relisting it?
I did. It's it does create a lot of traffic on your site. I had a lot of watchers on my items. I had a lot of views. I think it just really blows the algorithm up. It doesn't know what to do with it. But I didn't see it result in a lot of sales necessarily, but it might have been my stuff. Who knows? But you know, you know, if you have enough room in your store, you can try it and see what happens. Take that with a grain of salt. I haven't done it since. So there you go.
Well, and I wonder, well, first of all, how many items did you have that you ended and then restarted around?
I don't remember exactly, but I know that it was enough that whenever I did the, bulk edit. So when I relisted everything, I hit the mm-hmm. limit, and then I started getting insertion fees and all of that. And then that way, I'm kind of like, oh man, I've really blown myself out of the water with this. If I, you know, I am in the middle of March, I won't be able to list anything else because I've hit my limits on everything. And so then I went ahead and got a store. So.
Okay. Okay. And I wonder what that does if the algorithm sees all of those listings as brand new and you just have so many at a time, or, because I know that when people are brand new to eBay, they get a bump in search if they're like a new, not necessarily a new account, but maybe they've had an account for a long time and they start listing. The algorithm likes that. And it wants, this is my opinion, eBay wants to get them hooked. So they yeah. send a lot of traffic to their listing and maybe they result in sales. So they're like, oh, wow, this eBay thing is awesome. I'm going to keep doing it. And it's kind of like, you know, when the bank or the, you know, cell phone providers, like, oh, new people get a special discount. You know, if you're new, we're going to do this special stuff for you that they don't do for established customers. So it's like really not fair.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I just wonder if that's what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they just see a lot of new listings, or if every time, you know, I think maybe when you do your own new listings, that might, you know, show, you know, new items listed in the regular feed of eBay's items. So it could just be it's such a mass net that's cast that it catches some. But it's a strategy. I'm not sure how much it worked. It's a little scary. So.
Well, that is something to throw out to the listeners, like, because I talk about on my sales update videos, ending listings and restarting them. And I don't necessarily do it every day, but it is in my weekly workflow to touch that and end stuff and start it over. And I do see those items sell within a pretty short time. So I know that strategy does work, but there's no way to prove, like, would that have sold anyway if I didn't do anything to it? There's no way to prove that.
Yeah, I mean to do that with some of my older ones. Or maybe take new pictures, because I think my picture taking skills have improved, as well as my backdrops from what I was doing initially. So I thought, well, I could, you know, use to edit some of these. And then I'm finding too, as some of my older items sell and I've edited them, that for whatever reason, some of my shipping is way off and it's very high. And I'm, well, no wonder this sells, you know, it's a, you know, $20 shipping on a t-shirt or something. So I don't know what happened at that point. If it, maybe I was copying off someone else's listing, or maybe I estimated the weight because I was frightened or something. I don't know.
Well, I've noticed when I end and restart or edit listings, you know, I'll just be typing along, and sometimes I'll be in the wrong box. Like I'll be changing the price, but the cursor is actually in the shipping weight box.
Yeah.
And because I've found listings where it's like, it's been like a pair of gloves and I've got 4 pounds on it and I meant to have 4 ounces. And it's like, no wonder nobody bought this. Who would pay that? You know? Or the other thing I noticed is sometimes, like when I went back and through and changed to Ground Advantage when all that happened, July of 2023, somehow Priority Mail, because I offer 2 options. Priority Mail was put as the first option. And so that's what the buyer sees if they don't click through and look at all the shipping options. So several of mine were Priority, and then Ground Advantage was the second choice and it wasn't showing up. And so I, as I work through all the listings, I'm changing that so that the cheapest option is first, because a lot of buyers do not click through and look at all their options, or they don't even know they can choose it when they check out. Buyers have emailed, messaged me and said, why is the shipping so expensive? And I go look at it and it's like, oh, they're seeing the priority price. So I got to switch that. So, you know, it's just all kind of details that happen that you might not even realize. It's like, really? 4 pounds on a pair of gloves? Nobody's going to buy that.
Yeah, no. Okay. I would say one of the things that I've learned is just don't be shy in telling people about what you do. Whether it's when you're out sourcing or just, you know, your friends. And in fact, I probably err on the other side. I can't stop talking about eBay. So I, you know, one of my biggest sales and most interesting sales to date comes from just me talking a lot about it. And it was at church, and one of our friends who works there sent me a message and said, hey, we have something here if you want them. And she sent me a picture. It was 4 life-size nativity figures. And what had happened was the local fairgrounds in some of their Christmas, something new with their Christmas thing they have going on. They had these extra pieces or ones they couldn't use. They donated them to the church. It wasn't a complete set. 2 of them were not even painted. So I took them, and, you know, we're talking, you know, the angel was over 4 feet tall with a 3-foot wingspan. There was a wise man who was about 5'10". There was a kneeling mare. I mean, full size thing. So, I took them and I listed them. I did local pickup because I have no idea how to do shipping, and I can't find a good resource on how to learn how to do shipping. Freight like that. And so I did, the buyer reached out to me. He was from Sacramento, which is about 4 hours away. And he wanted to buy them. We worked out a deal. I lowered the price quite a bit from what they were probably worth, but I needed to get rid of them. I mean, they're huge and very hard to store those things. And he drove down and bought all 4 of them, and for, you know, $400. It was a lot less than what they were worth, but it didn't cost me anything. It was a fun adventure.
And what was the final price on those items?
$400.
That's amazing. Good for you. I love to hear that.
Yeah. And just, you know, in other people, you know, I have a thing I'm working on right now. Another one of our friends, again, she lives out of town now, but we were at a birthday party function, and we were talking eBay, and I got a call. Well, actually, her husband reached out to me. Her father recently passed away, and they have to deal with his estate, which is a kind of a hoarding house situation. So I've gone over there to help them, and the house is, it's just packed to the gills with stuff. And so I'm currently working through that with them, trying to help them downsize that. I don't even know that I'm going to get a chance to scratch the tip of the iceberg on that one.
A little overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot. I took several big totes of things home, and am working through that. They are particularly overwhelmed because she and her, one of her sisters are dealing with it. And they also have a mandate from the court because the stepmother is still alive, but she's in a conservatorship. So how much, they're supposed to get for the sale of the items, and they want to stop paying on the phone. It's a mess. So she's very overwhelmed, but I'll do my part and see what happens with the items I get.
Yeah, that's all you can do. In fact, this home I'm living in that I moved to, my man is like the family historian and custodian. He just ended up with everything. And he's got one sister and his parents, and he got his grandparents on both sides, got their stuff. And he's like, I don't even know how I ended up with all this. The basement's just full. And so he just keeps bringing stuff up. What about this? Can you sell this? What about this? It's like, I keep looking stuff up and I'm finding all kinds of things. Well, all kinds of things are being brought to me, just appearing in front of me like, oh my gosh, I've known about this for years and I've never seen one out in the wild. And it's in this house that I just moved into. So, I think the eBay gods are on my side with that, but I haven't really been out sourcing. And so we're recording this in mid-March and all the garage sales and yard sales are going to be starting up here soon. And it's like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to go to them. I've got so much to work on right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's me. I have so much going on, with both that hoarding situation, stuff that I have myself, my mother-in-law, she has a storage unit and she's had some life changes that we need to look at her storage unit to do some things. My grandfather passed away last month. And so we have some things from his house. It's just, I could probably not go sourcing for this year and probably be fine. Now, I probably will go sourcing because it's fun and I can't stop, but I can afford to be more selective, I think.
Yeah. And I think a lot of sellers are in that situation where it's fun to go out treasure hunting, but it's also a challenge to stay disciplined and work on what you already have because it's sitting right there and it could sell. I've been finding these old milk bottles and they're from all these little dairies in the Midwest around this area. And, I'm doing the research, pricing them $100 or more, and they're selling within minutes.
Wow. Like
people have alerts set up. Yeah. And it's like, that's something I never saw out in the wild. And anything's collectible, and a lot of these dairies don't exist anymore, or they were a family dairy and it's the family that's buying them because they're like, oh, thank you so much for offering this. This was my grandpa's dairy. And I sold one a couple of days ago to somebody that lives 2 miles down the road. I mean, you pass his house on the way to the post office. So I was like, hey, I can just drop this off at your house. And he was totally fine with it. And that was the first time in my 21-year history on eBay that I ever sold something to someone that close to me. And one sold for $100 and it was chipped and it was not in really great condition. It just had someone's name on it. And so that's what makes it valuable. But that's that motivated me. I got to keep listing this stuff because what's going to happen next?
Sure. Sure. Yes. It's amazing the things that sell. And it's always, people ask me, what are you looking for? And I say, well, I know it when I see it, but chances are you probably don't think it's worth anything. Mm-hmm. You know, the other lesson that I've learned is wake up early. And I say that wake up early because more than once it has paid off for me. There was, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but my sleep pattern seems to be really off. And I'll oftentimes wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and can't go back to sleep. So one day this last summer, I came out and was looking at Facebook. And somebody had just listed, they were selling an entire storage unit. So I contacted her and met up with her. And it was a situation where this lady, she had a friend who passed and she was the executor of the estate. There were no local family, was no local family. But she was closing things out. I bought the storage unit, the contents of the storage unit for her. And there's been several really good items in that that unit, and some that were completely unexpected. One of the items was when I saw it, it was in the right in the front of the unit. I had no idea what it was. It was a bust of a figure, a hooded or a robed figure with a beard. So usually that is, you know, we think Jesus when we see that, you know. But it was the face and hands was just glossy black. And I don't know why someone would have a black Jesus figure, especially this white lady who owned the unit. And I'm not, so in doing my research, I actually found out it was a recast from the 3M Corporation in 1960. They recast an earlier bust of an actor named Ian Aldridge, who was one of the first African-American stage actor in the 1800s. And I don't know why 3M did this, other than, you know, I think 3M has just experimented with their things to see if they what they can make money with or what will happen. So this bust was chalkware, and I did look it up on eBay. There was one that had sold for over $400, and I ran mine. I put mine up for about the same price. Then I did take an offer for $366, and it went to Staten Island, New York, all the way across the country from California. And you know, I bought the.
That's incredible. These prototype kind of items where there was only one or a few made, those can just be a gold mine.
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, maybe I should have held out longer. I don't know. But, you know, I kind of figured, how long can you hang on to this thing? And it was, you know, up on the shelf in our room, staring down at us the whole time. So I always kind of figured I was pushing my luck with it anyway. So I better take it.
Right.
Yeah, that's there were several story. Other things I got from that unit that was really good. And, you know, another example of waking up early was one Sunday morning. I had woke up early again, was looking on Facebook. There was an ad for a family-run estate sale that had not appeared prior to that. I got my daughter up to see if she wanted to go with me. We went to this estate sale. I bought several things, about a whole pile of stuff. And one of them was two cases full of cassettes. So they were about 60 cassettes in each case. The person having it, as soon as she saw me looking at these cassettes, "Do you want those? I'll sell you those cases for $1 each." Okay, sure. And they were filled with a lot of heavy metal and thrash metal bands stuff. A lot of those are pretty rare, not very well known. One of them in particular, I did my research on. It was a band called Atrophy, and it was an early demo tape. And I put that on auction, and it sold for $127.50.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. 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 So I think that the seller was just so happy to get rid of all these cassettes that, people just don't see the value in things.
Or they just don't have time. You know, maybe they know I'm probably donating, giving away something that's valuable, but they just want to get that project done and get it cleaned out and move on.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And that's exactly what it was. They just needed to wrap it up. And I tell people, I think a lot of times we are problem solvers. We solve people's problems. When they have a mess, when they need to get rid of things, when they have to, you know, we come in and we don't pay them the retail, but it's just they pay for the convenience of not having to deal with it. Just like I might pay somebody to mow my yard. At $50, I can mow it myself for free, but I would rather do eBay. So rather than pushing a lawnmower, I'd rather be taking pictures of cassettes. So I pay somebody to do that.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know who said it or where I read this, but it's like, you need to focus on what you do well and pay people to do what they do well, because same thing. Like, I always paid somebody to cut my grass. I could have done it. I didn't want to. I wanted to be inside listing stuff on eBay. I could list one thing that sells and pays for that guy to cut my grass every week.
Sure.
And, you know, doctors will tell you this. Like, you know, if you're a brain surgeon, that's your thing. You focus on that and you pay other people to do the things you hate, like such as your accounting work, you know, pay somebody who loves to do that. And then, you know, you're putting money into the economy, you're helping other sometimes self-employed people. I'm all about that. Stay in your flow and do your thing that gets you excited and motivated. And the money comes, and then you can outsource these other things that you don't want to do.
That's right. That's right. Another lesson that I think I've learned that I'm trying to apply is to pay attention, to be friendly, to strike up conversations with people. And recently, again, you know, on Facebook, I noticed there was one poster in particular kept posting things for free on the free site. And there wasn't anything that I wanted, so I didn't take her up on any of it. But I, in my mind, I'm thinking something's going on there. If she's giving away all this stuff, something is going on. So as soon as something came up that looked interesting to me, I sent her a message. You know, there's my opportunity. So I sent her a message, went over to her place to pick up. There was a table, an old folding table, and a CD case, like, you know, you put your CDs in there. So I pulled up to her house, and there was a dumpster in the driveway. So, okay, that's a good sign. And get out and introduce myself and start talking to her, strike up a conversation. Now, I could have just got this stuff and left, but I, you know, oh, it looks like you're cleaning your garage. What's going on? And, you know, just dragging out the conversation, talking to her, seeing what she's up to, getting to know her a little bit. Again, she was just cleaning her garage. She was cleaning it out. Her husband, about 6 months ago, had passed. And this was just a project that she was working on to get rid of this stuff. I think maybe to, you know, maybe she's just needing to distract herself from it. But, and so when we were talking about eBay, she had some things she wanted to sell herself on eBay. But she didn't know how to do it. And she doesn't know when she's going to get around to it. But she says, if there's anything here you see you might want, let me know. And, you know, there was looked like a box of CDs. It turned out it was computer software. I couldn't use that, but she said, I do have some old video game stuff. You want some of that? And, you know, I'm barely able to control my excitement at that. Sure. So, you know, she brought them out. And
oh, I guess. Yeah, I guess I'll take a look at those.
Okay, yeah. And when she brought them out, there was two old systems. It was an Atari system and then a ColecoVision system. And so I got them. The Atari system I had not heard of. And it was called an Atari Jaguar. And so I did research on it. And turns out Atari Jaguar is an extremely rare system. It was the first 64-bit system that they created. It was ahead of its time. It failed after about 3 years. They only made, I think, 100,000 of them. And when they're up and working, it may be in the neighborhood of $500. I could not get mine going. So I was maybe trying to find a friend to help me work on it. And I just said, you know, I'm not going to burn my time. I'm going to sell it for parts. So I did list it. Printed up, listed it, sold it for parts, and it didn't cost me anything. And I took an offer for $200. And
great,
that was great. And along with that game system, there was several games with it. And for that, I think there was 10 games. One of the games, the sold comps, it hasn't sold yet, but it's over $300. But I have sold one for 100, one for 50, and one for 15. And the ColecoVision I haven't gotten around to working on yet. So that's in my to-do pile.
So are you testing them like with a TV to see if they work? Are you just seeing if they turn on? Or how do you do that with the really old consoles and units?
The console I did try to hook that up to the television and hook that up. I could not get that to power on. Because I couldn't get that to power on, I couldn't get any of the games to power on either. I just list them as untested and go from there. And, I think that the people, I have got comments. They works great. Thank you. I think that the people who want them are just very excited to get them and they're excited to pay the price for them.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen where people list them as untested. On the one hand, well, if it does work, you could get more for it, but that you have to have a way to test them, like a game to put in there. And if you don't have a game that goes with that system, then how are you going to test it? But it's good to know that people are happy with them. Just list it untested and see where it goes.
Yeah, that's right. The other lesson that I've learned that I want to take away, it's go slow and trust the process. And the go slow one, this one here, I owe this score, a particular score, to you and to your interview with George Kelly.
Okay.
I'm going back listening to a bunch of the old podcast, and in that podcast, I think he mentioned having a newspaper ad. And so a while back, I took out a newspaper ad. Basically, I think it says, whatever, cash for stuff before you throw it away or donate it. Call me, I'll buy it, and kind of list a few things. And so I did get a phone call. From a guy who was getting rid of some, some family member who was deceased, some toys and some comic books. And, there were several G.I. Joe items in there. And one of the G.I. Joe items in there was this green tank with a very long gun in the front. Looking at it, on the comps, there's many, many of them listed on eBay currently. And the solds are around $30. So, I listed it for $30 and moved on. I was actually doing it one day after work, just kind of quickly trying to get some things done. And it sold within a few minutes. And so that's always, you're always kind of like, well, why did mine sell? My regular asking price, there's all this other competition. And so it is kind of was eating away at me all night. and trying to look because, I mean, there's so many out there. Well, finally, I did piece together. Everyone that's listed was camouflage in color, and mine was solid green. So, And so as I start to search for solid green ones, there are no solid green. Called a slugger tank is what it was called, a slugger cannon. And so I in doing more research on it, it does look like it is more desirable, whatever that means. And then you get your conundrum, right? What do I do? Do I cancel the sale or do I just honor the sale? I decided I was just going to honor it. Just bite the bullet. And I shipped it. I did wait until the buyer got it. And then I reached out to the buyer, just kind of said, I noticed this was after I sold it and it was gone. I noticed this was all green and the other ones were all camouflage. I noticed you're a collector because he did have an eBay store. And is there any reason? Is there any difference in this one? And it was available through the mail order one. So it is more rare, is more desirable. He said probably around $120. I sold it for $30. I think he was being kind. I have since actually done a WorthPoint subscription. I think I found one for a couple hundred dollars that sold. So, live and learn, it's tuition. I just paid tuition on that one.
Yeah. And everybody has something like that, that you just can't know every single detail.
No, I think it was, but it's a good lesson. I think one of your other podcasts, the couple who do a lot of the Hot Wheels.
Okay. Yeah. Tina. Yes.
Yeah. A takeaway from that is a lot about the little details on them, the little variations. So, kind of a success on that about going slow and trusting the process is one day there was a Thursday, an estate sale that was listed by appointment only. It was in a mobile home park in town and I was at work, so I couldn't get away. I contacted the seller, made an appointment for after work that day. I was going to get off my day. I was going to be off at like about 3:30 that day. But I said, we'd be by at 4. So I went by about 4:00. I was the last person there. And they had a few things set up in the living room. It was one of his parents. I think the second last parent had just passed. He was getting rid of some things and going around through the room. There was, this is the end of the day. There was an oyster plate. So I did post this on the group. It was fish head oyster plate. So it's got, I think, 6 wells.
Yes, and, you posted that. I saw that. Yeah.
Each one of them is a little fish. And I have heard in other groups or other that oyster plates can be desirable. And so I got that $5, went home, did my research, looked at WorthPoint, and then started it on auction. I listed it. I started the auction at $99 because I think it was not an original piece from the 1800s. It was a reproduction. I don't know when. I've seen ones like mine sell. So I started at that price. I did have somebody send me an offer for $20. I thought that was laughable. I did make a little, my response in the decline was, thank you for your interest in this item. If I'm not sure if that was a mistake, if you are serious about it, I suggest you watch it and do a bid at the appropriate time. And then the final sales price on that was $366, I think.
Excellent. Yes.
Yeah. So that was
a beautiful piece.
Yeah, it was nice. I go back and forth on whether it's beautiful or really ugly. I can't make up my mind.
That's true. The beauty's in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
Yeah. But it's off. It's and then you know, you have all the stress of packing something like that. But it made it there. And I haven't heard either way. So I'm happy that we get no news is good news.
Exactly. Yeah. You got one more for us?
One more sale? Or
one more, whatever you want to say.
Well, you know, there's a few things that I've been thinking about that I've tried on eBay. Like, I really wish there was a school or some way to learn how to maximize your eBay store. It seems like there's all these great tools that I don't know, or I'm having a hard time figuring out. Like, there's a way to link it up with your Facebook, or there's a way to do a newsletter in there. I just recently have started doing featured categories in my eBay store. And and then when you go to create and list your items, you can put them in your category in your store. Like, for example, in my eBay store, I currently have two featured categories. One is gift ideas for Mother's Day. One is gift ideas for Father's Day. And so when I list items that might fall in that category, when it says, your store categories, I'll put it in there. And then I have a few other ones. I have one that's called Geektastic. So that's my, Star Wars stuff, video game stuff, comics, things like that. And then one that's, I think I've named it the Eclectic Soul is what I've named it. And that's just kind of odds and ends stuff. And so, my hope there is that maybe somebody just browsing will see those things and will go browse those categories and buy from there. So I've tried that. Another thing that I've tried is I've created coupons. And in particular, recently what I've started doing is I have a coupon that if somebody gives me a positive feedback, I send them one of these coupons for just, it's 15% off, but it's just, thank you for your purchase and the positive and the great feedback. Here's a coupon for next time. Again, I don't know that I've seen a lot of business from that, but, I hold out hope for it. I do sales. I don't know. I start and I stop sales. I've heard that's helpful. Rather than maybe like running one for, 2 months or a month at a time, sometimes like I'll run one on the weekend and start it on Friday and end it on Sunday night. So those are just some things that I've tried.
What about promoted listings?
I do some promoted listings. For a while I was promoting some of my older stuff at 2%. Then I've gone back in recently and I've just kind of promoted some of my stuff at their suggested rates. Like, for example, I have some older hats, some trucker hats. And, there's pretty stiff competition with those. So I've put those at their suggested rates. I don't know that I've seen a lot of success from that necessarily, but I'm giving it a shot, and you don't have to pay until it sells. So, I'll try it.
Right. Yeah. If it's like, it's got that 30-day cookie on it. So if somebody clicks on it, looks at it, and then maybe you end that promotion or change it. If they buy it within 30 days, then you're charged that promoted listing fee.
Yeah.
So it's not just a one time click on it and buy it. If it tracks it for 30 days, which is very common with anything on the internet that's like affiliate marketing, it's got a 30-day cookie on it. So, because rarely do people buy something like the first time they click on it. They might save it, go back, look at it again later, see if the price changes, talk to their spouse. Like, I do that all the time. I never buy something the first time I see it. You're price shopping, whatever you're doing, but,
sure.
That's kind of the complaint from a lot of sellers is, well, you know, if they buy it within 30 days, even if you end that promotion, you're still charged, but you do get the sale. So, you know, it's just, it's hard to know without experimenting for yourself how that's going to work. I do promoted listings all the time and I get sales from them and I change it up every week. Not exactly like every Thursday at 9 o'clock. No, I randomly change it. And I think the algorithm likes that randomness where if you're changing your promoted listings every Wednesday at noon, it's not going to be as effective as if you just randomly do it. That's what I've discovered anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of a new tool that I started doing this last weekend. I was out of town this weekend and I set some of my items, scheduled them to list because I like to have things being mm-hmm. listed every day. So I had done some in advance and then scheduled them to be listed. And that was nice. That was fun. It was fun to see that go. So I think maybe it's good, you know, if you're a seller and you're not using those tools, you know, give those a shot and see what happens. It's funny with those featured categories, you know, I went to the stores of several, you know, people, including some of the YouTube people who are big sellers, and a lot of them didn't have these categories. Some had a few. Maybe they had set them, I almost kind of interpret as maybe they had set them up in the past and then just kind of stopped doing it. So, but, you know, I'm going to try it and see what happens.
And I think the most important takeaway is, yeah, try it for yourself. If you're on a group and everybody's like, yeah, Markdown Manager, it doesn't work. I never get any sales. You know, don't. The only person's opinion that matters is yours, you know, because there's just the research is too much of a gray area, like what works and what doesn't. You got to figure out what works for you, what you sell, your price points, your business model. Like you have plenty of inventory, you know, you don't have to worry if you let some things go at less than optimal prices, because it's good for the algorithm when things sell, even if it's not a really high profit sale. So, and where do you put all your stuff? If you're cleaning out storage units and house clean outs, do you have your own storage unit?
Oh, me, you know, like, for example, the storage unit, when I had that this summer, I have a pad on the side of the house. Luckily, in California, we don't get a lot of rain and bad weather, especially in the summer. So I had, you know, use that as a staging area. And then I would, you know, just operate out of that. I have a little shed there, too, on the side that I can use. And then, you know, I try to, you know, I have things that need to be listed. They're in totes, boxed up. The things that I'm going to move that are, they're just temporary. They are, you know, I'll try to move those on a yard sale, new yard sales. I try to do a yard sale every couple of months. And I price stuff to get rid of it. And, you know, I look at it, you know, I might sell something for $1 or $2, but I'm going to turn around and turn that $1 or $2 at a yard sale I go to into, you know, $50 to $100. So I don't, it doesn't bother me to let it go for a buck.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Okay, well, we've been going about an hour and this has been a great update on your business, and that you've only been doing it a year is really phenomenal. It's just, you've just grabbed the bull by the horns and ran with it. So I want to commend you on that. Do you have any last words before we finish up?
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I guess I just, you know, like I said, these little reflections, just give it a shot. Don't get in a hurry. Be calm. Trust the process. It's, you know, I think success is consistency plus time. And, you know, if you just, every little thing, well, it all adds up. It might be, you know, and don't get hung up on just the little things. You know, maybe this one cassette is only going to sell for $2. List that one cassette. Go through that list, because when you work down through the list, you're going to get to that next cassette that's going to go for $127. You know, go through the jewelry box, and you're going to list some of the jewelry box, the pieces of jewelry. Don't waste your time jumping from thing to thing to thing. You know, go through and do that. You know, the other thing is sometimes just recognize maybe it's you have two. You need to get rid of it in a bigger bite. There's been a couple items that I had that a big lot of cameras. I had bought a lot of antique cameras. I think I had 15 of them, and it was just too much to worry about every one. They were cluttering everything up. So I put them all together and did an auction on all of them, and I sold the whole thing for $156. And most of them, I think I bought most of them at a yard sale for $30. But then a few of the others I had bought at estate sales in my piles of other stuff. And that's the other thing. Don't underestimate the power of the pile. When you go to an estate sale, get yourself a big box of stuff. And most of the time they'll look at it, you'll be surprised at how often you'll get a really great deal. And something that, you know, individually they might have charged you a dollar for, it would just be heaped in with everything else and just wouldn't even be considered. So, because again, you are fixing their problem. Because if you don't take it, they're going to have to pay some guy to haul it to the trash.
Right. Or they're going to have to do it themselves. And who wants to do that? So,
sure.
Okay. Well, thank you again for coming on, and I wish you continued success with everything you're doing, and we'll keep watching your great sales on the Facebook group.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Best of luck to you. You have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
On to today's trivia question. I think Bill is really smart about how he runs his eBay business. So on that note, what are some characteristics of people with high intelligence? Here's some time to think it over. There was a lot of information about this topic, but this is coming from inc.com, the business magazine, and the article is called 8 Personality Traits of Highly Intelligent People Backed by Science. The scientific reasoning behind some of the personality traits that smart people share. And smart meaning high IQ. So we're going to run through these. Number 1, they're highly adaptable. Intelligent people are flexible and able to thrive in different settings. Number 2, they understand how much they don't know. And I love this one. The smartest folks are able to admit when they aren't familiar with a particular concept. You never want to be the smartest person in the room because you can always learn more from other people. Number 3, they have insatiable curiosity. Albert Einstein reportedly said, "I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious." So, kind of be like a 3-year-old. What? Why? Why is it like that? How did it get that way? That is a sign of high intelligence. Okay, number 4, they're open-minded. Smart people don't close themselves off to new ideas or opportunities. Number 5, they like their own company. Highly intelligent people tend to be very individualistic and often prefer spending time alone than with spending time with other people, doing social events, that type of thing. Number six, they have high self-control. Smart people are able to overcome impulsiveness by planning, clarifying goals, exploring alternative strategies, and considering consequences before they begin. Number seven, they're really funny. Highly intelligent people tend to have a great sense of humor. And number eight, they're sensitive to other people's experiences. Smart people can almost feel what someone is thinking or feeling. And there were lists up to 20 characteristics, but you get the gist of that. Okay, next week is a special third anniversary podcast with snippets from several other resellers. Yes, the very first episode of this podcast was on March 24th, 2021. 3 straight years, never missing a week with a new episode. The third anniversary episode will be a format like the estate sale and jewelry podcasts, just changing things up and making it fun. I think you will really enjoy it. Thank you again for listening to this podcast, and I hope you have a stellar week on eBay. Bye, everybody.